Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Devin Vaughn.
Braden Holtby!
Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, as always, live to tape from the digs at Glen Burnie, Maryland. The Hannibal Hovel here. And with me, as always, struggling through, you gotta love this weather here at the DMV. Is the moaning mermaid, a mermaid mentalist, slip of the lip there, sorry, going to be the first of many. I apologize to the United Nations, sorry. The teaching prodigy, she'll teach you a lesson if you don't watch out, so you better watch out or you get something in your eye. Miss Anna Knox, live from Centerville, Virginia.
There you go. It's been in Centerville, Maryland the last couple of times.
Yeah.
It's a great blooper reel. Hello, Gil.
Hello, you, Anna. How am I? I don't know, but I have had a touch or three of the grapefruit shandy, my fifth favorite girl, Shandy. And, yeah. And I'm feeling very, very fine. Very fine indeed.
Good. This will be a fun episode.
That it will. Because it is our last for the 2017-2018 season. Yeah, yes, we are locking it away for the day, for the season, until training camp this coming late September.
Right.
So we're winding it down for the day, and so wanted to open it up to listener questions, make an announcement about a couple of meet and greets we plan on having, more on that later, and get into at least one news item, one or two news items that have come up. But we designed this basically as a thank you to our loyal listeners who have jumped on board or been with us from the beginning. Either way, we love you.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's get started here, mainly with the opening up of the questions. Now, fortunately or unfortunately, we only really had one response from our query at the Facebook page, and that was from my man, Mr. Kevin Simmons, loyal listener from damn near the beginning. So we'll just jump right into that, and basically what he asked was don't want to misquote him, so bear with me here. Whilst I look that up.
Way to be prepared, Gil.
Yeah, well, you know. That's what I am.
Not prepared?
Well, I was never a Boy Scout, so that's my excuse.
Oh, okay, that's good. I wasn't either, so.
I would hope not. A boy or a scout. okay, here we go. So he says, Gil and Anna, this question is for both of you.
Yes.
What was the most memorable Caps game that you all attended, and what made it special? So this would be a live game that we both, well, not both, but that we were actually at. So.
Right. Okay. Am I going first?
Yes, you are.
Aw. Nice.
Ladies first.
Right. And then please excuse the dog barking in the background. I swear to God, this full moon has everybody crazy, but really has my dog crazy.
Bella, okay. Bella can make any noise she wants. She's a dog after my own heart. She's the dog in the fight that I'm in.
Okay, she's random. Okay, anyways, so back to Kev. So Kevin, thank you for the question. It was a really cool question. I kind of had to think about it for a little bit. But what it came down to was a couple of years ago, I had an opportunity to go to, it was the Verizon Center at the time, and go and see the Caps Anaheim game with my brother. And what made it special was when we grew up in Northern California, we were diehard sports fans. It's, you know, we had the Winnipeg roots with my mom's side of the family and the hockey, you know, love from there, and then football and baseball and basketball and, like, you name it, and of course then my swimming. So we were big sports people, and then he moved to DC and I moved here about 14 years ago, and it gave us an opportunity to go to this game. And he surprised me for my birthday with seats that were just five. What's that?
I didn't say anything.
Sorry. That was weird. So the seats were like five behind the glass.
Cool.
So Holtby was, you know, in there, in the net, you know, twice on our side. And
in just, there, like swimwear.
Yes. Like sexy thong. Yeah. And, So it was, you know, it was just really cool because we had just this kind of nostalgic moment together as an adult, you know, no kids, no spouses, no nothing, just siblings having a really good time, having overly priced beer, and watching the Capitals play. So it was just a really great memory for me. And it came down to, gosh, very like the last minute, you know, the Caps pulled out a win. So it was a very exciting game, and it was, a very memorable one for me. So thank you, Kevin, again for the cool question. And Gil, you?
Very cool question. So yes, I actually documented this on, I think it was last summer, if I remember right. Is it that or the one before? Mm-hmm. Because one of my favorite players of all time was the great Gordie Howe. And I actually had the pleasure, six-year-old me, had the exact a pleasure of seeing him live in his very last season in 79-80 as a member of the Hartford Whalers playing the Caps. And very unusual because here was this guy with white hair and a bald spot, and six-year-old me could not process that he was much, much older than the players on ice. So he played his game a little bit differently. But what struck me was that he was able to keep up for the most part. And he kept his, he didn't really change his game. He was tough till the end, tough as nails, went hard to the net at all times. And that kind of struck me. And that gave me the first taste, again, six-year-old me, learning the game for the first times, when, you know, and it, what made it memorable, kind of like yours, Anna, is that the fact that it was, you know, it was family. It was one of many games that, you know, my dad took us and whole family to at the time. And that's how, of course, I fell in love with hockey and the game and the history and all that. But yeah, there was this 52-year-old player skating up and down the ice.
Complete badass.
Playing like a complete badass, keeping up with the game and, you know, throwing up the elbows and playing tough and all that. And I was like, yeah, that's how I learned the game. So that was one of the memorable things for me, even though I can't recall quite what happened as far as the result. I just remember, you know, highlights from the game itself. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have to say, you know, even though, I mean, it was just a regular season game, you know, it was just, seeing a legend live perform. Very close second would be the last ever game at the old Cap Center, which is, of course, no more. It's where they retired Rod Langway's jersey, and they play the Canadiens to close the Cap Center. And, of course, they were wearing those white jerseys with the eagle, et cetera, et cetera. It's a very close second, but also a memorable game for moi.
Awesome. I mean, really, it was a great question. And at first, I said this before, but I was like, you know, at first I wasn't sure I was going to have the overly exciting, you know, oh, I saw someone's, you know, 500th goal, or I saw someone's, you know, 1,000th game, or I saw Gretzky play, or, you know, something. I didn't have that kind of thing. And then looking at it again, I kind of read it like on a much more personal level. So, you know, when you grow up in a sports family and then you get to sit with your family and so many years later and watch something, it was a great night. Because my brother and I are so opposite. But our mutual thing is we absolutely love sports.
Oh yeah, most definitely. And that's that. Yeah, and hockey has proven time and again to be a thing that brings a lot of people together. So yeah, would definitely approve of that. Okay, so that fortunately, again or unfortunately, was the only question that was posted in the Facebook room, but I understand you have gone out on assignment and collected more questions and answers from other fans.
Yes.
Little Miss Mermaid, you.
Yeah, and they're all from guys. Shocking, right?
Shocking.
Shocking. Yeah, so just a couple. Hold on. Can you sit? Stop it. Go lie down.
God. I'll lie down. I will beg. I will fetch.
I was going to say, you keep having beers and I'm going to start talking to you like I do my dog. Yeah, roll over. Okay, so our first one is Trucker Eric.
Mr. Hayes.
Yes, who we adore, who is so awesome for leaving comments and listening, and you know, he's in the middle of who knows where driving the semi listening to the Power Play Point podcast, and how riveting is that? So anyways, but he did have a question, and he said that he wanted to know, how do you feel the players are going to accept Reardon and his views, etc., going into the next season?
Okay, well, you went first last time, so I'll take this. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I, pardon me, whoa. I have
you okay
to,
there?
Yeah, I'm fine. I have to admit, and this was one of the reasons why, I mean, we all knew what was going to happen as a result of Coach Trotz, finding, greener pastures on Long Island. Todd Reardon was and is the heir apparent. But I wasn't convinced, pardon me, at all, unfortunately, because my mentality is, okay, you're the assistant coach. You end up being the replacement. That means supposedly you had the answers all along. So if you had the answers all along, why didn't you reveal them as the assistant coach? But of course we all know he was being groomed as such. But again, he hasn't had NHL head coaching experience, though he's been a head coach in the minors. But that wasn't enough for me. I like experience, and Barry Trotz had that, and that's why he had the demeanor to keep things together. I didn't think at first that Todd Reardon would be able to figure that out, that's part of part of what a head coach has to do. But then I saw a video from how he had all of the young'uns in the developmental camp and sat them down and basically lectured them and say, hey, this is what it takes. This is where everybody started. Every great player that we have that contributes to this organization started where you started, right now. And basically he looked at each and every one of them in the eye. Now, the draft pick, Alexiev, all of them, 201, looked them in the eye and said, look, it is up to you to contribute and do what you can do and sacrifice yourself for the organization. I forget exactly what he said, but, I mean, I was captivated by what he said. So I'm kind of, that kind of won me over, so I'm kind of on his side a little bit. I want to see what he can do. I'm still a slightly skeptical, but I want to see. I'm willing to give him a chance and see what he can do with a full season of everything under his command. He's proven that he knows how to run a defense. So and as we all know, defense wins championships. So I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt, but let's see him and the team face adversity and come out of it, and let's see how that works out. And that's my answer.
Okay. Well, then, as usual, I'm not going to agree.
Oh, how the hell? What a surprise.
Surprise, surprise, surprise. I agree with part of it because, of course, you know, we don't want to throw him under the bus without having seen him going into the season and as a leader. I guess here's what I'm hung up on. You want somebody to come into the position who has NHL experience, but at some point you have to start somewhere on getting that experience. And so for me, I'm completely so okay with Reardon taking over because he has been the assistant coach. He has been there. You know, he knows these players. He knows Kettler. He knows Capital One. He knows the fans, all this other stuff. So there's no changes going on that end for the players and for, you know, for himself. It's like, yes, he's going to be in a leadership role, but I would think as an assistant coach, you kind of are already in a leadership role. You know, so it's like, so for me, I think it's the best thing to do. You're not changing anything. You're, you know, you're keeping with it. And I feel like he knows what he's doing. And I feel like Trotz has faith in it, has and had faith in him. So why not give him the benefit of the doubt? I would much rather have Reardon come in as someone who knows the players than choose someone who doesn't know them or is some, you know, Torts hothead and, you know, or someone who is coming from, you know, I don't know, a college team that has never done the NHL. So I'm all on board. Like I wasn't surprised when it happened. I was kind of relieved, to be honest, because I didn't want somebody else to come in and kind of shake things up, because look at how we've changed. The only thing that has changed so far since winning the cup is unfortunately losing Jay Beagle, but everything else is staying the same. And so why change it? Except for my Tommy contract, which I'm waiting for, but that's another story.
More on that in a little bit, but yeah, okay. I can see what you're saying, agree to disagree again, but I can see what you're saying. All right. So that, yeah, it was a good question, from Mr. Hayes. Our trucker friend. Okay, yeah, very good one there. Okay, so moving on. Were there any more?
There were. Yeah. Okay. I let you down. Okay, so now we have Don, who's we've become great friends because he's another swim dad and lives in close by here and is huge Caps fan. So that's awesome. So he
swim dad. Is that code for something?
Say it again.
Swim dad. Is that code for something?
Yeah, that he is a dad to swimmers.
Oh, okay.
So he gets, you know, go ahead.
I thought maybe it meant something else.
No.
Okay.
Like in the mermaid sense? No. Mm-hmm. It's just a dad who's... There we go. I was waiting for that. Nope, it's just a dad that's got summer kids, but... you just go ahead and take it to the dirty side since I didn't. But anyways, so his question is, which current rostered players will be key part of the Ovi Nick post-contract rebuild? It's a good one. So it's a good question because you've got two phenomenal staples for leaders and whatnot for the Capitals, and both contracts are till 2021.
C'est une très bonne question.
Maybe
from Monsieur Don. Okay, you want to take it or
go for it?
Okay, well, so I interpret the question as thus. So you got to basically look at who's under contract or who's going to be under contract long term. Excusez-moi.
Okay, hold on. Answer me this question honestly.
Go ahead.
How is Don's question influencing a French accent?
I don't know. I just feel like it because
you
I know
you were just in the mood.
I know I'm in the mood, and I'm in the mood to annoy you, Anna.
Zut alors. Yes, I speak French, so I get it.
Wow.
I know. Good times. All right, so go, because you and I think, as usual, are going to interpret the question completely different.
What? Right. So, my mentality is you got to go with who's under contract long term, because, you got to pay the piper. And I'm not talking Roddy either. But you got to look at who's going to be there long term. Obviously, Carlson with the deal he just signed. Kuznetsov. And they're saying that number 43 will be they're looking to sign him to a very long term deal, so you got to look at him as part of the core as well. So that's who I see as three main cogs, maybe not all of them, but three main cogs of the core that will make up the Caps' future. For years to come. Now, I for one would be very shocked if they did not make some sort of effort to keep both Backstrom and Ovechkin.
Mm-hmm.
But if the impossible should happen and they stop considering keeping them,
mm-hmm.
then that's your core right there. Kuznetsov. John Carlson and Tom Wilson, right there. I would think that's your core because you're going to have them sign long term. Oh, and TJ Oshie, of course, signed long term as well. Don't want to forget him.
Stop it.
But yeah,
I don't
think they want to they want to stop thinking about keeping. Who's now their two star players long term?
Right.
But again, if the unthinkable should happen, those four guys right now are your core. Not simply because of the length of the contracts, but because of what they can contribute, both on and off the ice, and as leaders of the team.
Right.
So that's pretty much how I see it.
Okay, and I partially agree, because when I looked at the question, I kind of looked at it like not so much as who has long-term contract status, but maybe like in more like in an ideal situation. Let's just kind of assume that we think these people are going to that these players are going to get a long-term. So for me, I have Wilson. Obviously, I think he's gonna. I think after this year, he may or may not quite have a leadership role, but he certainly is, he's coming into his own, which to me, the leadership thing will come maybe after another couple more seasons. And then I think, we're going to see awesome leadership and skills and whatnot with the Bronis and Juice and Walker if he signs. I was looking more so at the, like, I looked at the question like Don was seeing it as kind of like the vet players and who would be the younger players coming up into those roles. I wasn't looking at it like, you know, because Carlson and Oshie and like those are going to be your vet players. I was looking at like who was going to come up from the younger players that we have right now into, you know, well, not even a leadership role. That's not really what the question's asking, but I had my eye on the, like I said, the Vrana, the Wilson and Juice, seeing things long-term. Absolutely.
Okay. So you're seeing it more from who will be the future, of the Caps as far as, who's young enough now to project themselves, into that, long-term. Okay. Yeah. I get that. I don't know. I mean, you can always deal younger players, because, as the saying goes, you know, when you have to, you mortgage the future. God willing, they won't do that.
Right.
I think we've got a good older core and a good younger core, like you just described. And I think we just described both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah. Well, and I think that to me, like if Reardon can take into consideration just that alone, you've got the strongest vet players who are still kicking ass and still awesome, but they've got that leadership. And then you've got the young skill, speed, you know, fresh legs kind of thing coming up. It's an awesome balance to have,
and
you know, because they play together.
And right. And getting back to, you mentioned Coach Reardon, getting back to the original question from, Eric, mm-hmm. That is going to be probably, if not the biggest challenge, one of them anyway, is to keep everybody happy as far as playing time. That's going to be the raging river that he's going to have to navigate.
Well, he's going to be like any other coach. Like, I mean, people look at how frustrated people were with Trotz this season. There were times, how often did we have to discuss people throwing him under the bus midseason for not playing Vrana enough, or, you know, giving Orpik too much time, or whatever it was. And that's just, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, we're watching as, you know, couch coaches thinking that we know better, but you know what? These coaches are, guys a hell of a lot more
The first slump this team goes through, the first losing streak, oh, you know, people are going to crawl out of the woodwork and say, I told you so. I'm not going to be one of them. I'm willing to give this guy a chance, but you watch that. That's going to happen.
Of course it is, because people just, you know, they have to have drama and they have to, you know, get on social media and, you know, be jerk-offs about it. And it's like, come on, just, you know, just have faith in the guy who's been standing by these players for, you know, longer than, you know, more like, I don't know how many other assistant coaches then have become the head coach of the team that they were assistant coach for.
Well, that's why, not to make too much more out of that question, but why I'm a bit skeptical, because that type of transition isn't generally conducive to, you know, continuing things along. Because,
but how do you know?
Well, I mean, I'm just going by track record in history. I mean, yeah, that's what I do. I'm a history major. I look at what's happened before, and I get that past performance is not always prologue to future performance. But when it comes down to it, that's the evidence that's before us.
Okay.
So. But yeah, I mean, that's to get back to the question at hand. Yeah, that was the, I mean, that's how we see, you know, the future of the team. In our own way.
Sorry. My dog. My dog is just running in circles.
She wants to be part of the show. I have no problem with that.
I know. She's. It's like she's possessed. Okay. Anyway, so now I've got two more questions.
Okay.
So this is Kevin, who is a season ticket holder, super sweetheart, and he had asked, he had asked us like last week, and we already have the answer for one, and we're holding out on the second, but he was asking about the Wilson Orpik contract. So we know about Brooks coming back for the year, and I think we already knew that was going to happen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we kind of knew that was in the works. Yeah, spoiler alert.
Well.
Breaking news. Yeah, not quite breaking news. It actually happened yesterday that we found out that Brooks Orpik is signed to a one-year, $1 million contract back with the Capitals. There's actually, I don't have time to look it up right now. Look up Ed Frankovic on Twitter, but he actually tweeted the number of games bonus amounts that if Orpik hits certain targets, he actually gets extra money. They don't actually expect him to play all 82 games. His role is going to be more like a 7th D slash advisor to the team, a la Joe Riecke in the 90s. Say that name and claim it. A lot of people were like, "No, oh, I'm not too wild about it." I'm okay. I'm more than okay with it. I think given the younger D that are in the system, the number of young guys that are waiting to fill in from the pipeline, I'm more than okay with that contract, with him being a steadying hand as far as that goes.
Again, a leader.
Right, exactly.
Okay, now, so hypothetically, and this was the other kind of question that was thrown out there on social media, was if he did not return, who would you give the A to?
So that's the second part of his question?
It's not. It's just a question I'm asking.
Oh, okay. well, I mean, so the A can be kind of an abyss, if as it were, or a hole. So who would you make the A hole then? I don't know. Who would you want to slap that label on? I don't know. Actually, no. In all seriousness, I think John Carlson is very much deserving of that. I think he's earned that, so he'd certainly be one. Perhaps
not Backstrom.
Oh, Backstrom's already an A.
Oh, that's right. I don't know why I'm thinking.
You don't know your holes.
Apparently, you are quite knowledgeable in the A holes. That status. That's good. Love it.
I won't comment on that.
Okay. Yeah, no, I agree. I think Carlson would be good.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. I don't know how I forgot about
it. Most definitely. But, yeah, no. So getting back to the original question, I'm more than okay with Orpik's contract. I mean, obviously, okay, so Wilson does not have a contract.
No.
Yeah, that I'm sorry, that bothers me. I get that they're working, quote unquote, working on it, and there could be a deal any time now, but you know, like the song.
I'm going to cut you off with the song. Because that's what I do. I'm thinking they will announce something about his contract. I'm going to say 4 years, possibly five. I'd be okay with that. Money-wise, I'm not quite sure. I'd have to see what – I think there's, what, six-something left over after the Orpik signing. But I think it's going to come out from – the Caps organization when Tommy's got the cup in Toronto coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would be a very good time to post that.
Yeah, because there's no reason to let him go. The interest is there. It's just all down to the BS agents, you know, doing their pissing contest of this, the no this, and this, and whatever. So, you know what, Tommy come back as a Cap and should be long-term, especially after this last season. So I'm okay with it, but I will get back to Kevin's other question. Was he wanted to know if there was any more events to see the Stanley Cup here, because he missed, even as a season ticket holder and whatnot, he missed the opportunity to go to Kettler and take the photo and whatnot. If we knew of anything that was coming up once it's made its rounds with the players and the staff.
Okay.
And honestly, I don't know.
All right. Well, yeah. Yeah, I think that it'll develop over time. I think. But yeah, another good question there.
Yeah, because I mean, it was absolutely outstanding how many people have, you know, stood in line and had that opportunity, you know, and I wouldn't be surprised if the area did, you know, kind of one last opportunity maybe before. I honestly don't know. So unfortunately, Kevin, I don't have all the answers for that one, but it's a good question. In case somebody does know, maybe they can send us a Facebook message or tweet or whatever.
Yep, I get that. Okay, so what was there one more?
There was. And I think you'll enjoy this one.
Okay.
So this is from Ryan, who I think I've actually found the male version of my sarcastic side. If that makes any sense, like
I'll go with that.
it's awesome. Our tweets are hilarious and it's great. But anyways, but also Caps fan, went to the parade, blah blah blah. And his question, which I'm going to go ahead and start with you, is how big is Oshie's liver? And most importantly, how big are his balls?
Well, very, very interesting question indeed. I don't want to sound like I'm passing, but I would not know. I'm not a doctor. I don't even play one on TV or the radio, although I'm referred to one at my main job.
Just have a guess.
No, I'm not even going to guess. Never.
Come on.
Never was good at anatomy, but obviously I'll say this.
Bigger balls than you.
He's no, not going to put myself out there. But he's obviously got very, very, very large in the department of the cajones, and as well as the other internal body parts to let's put it this way, he can hold his liquor for sure, so I will leave it at that.
All right, good answer. Yeah, I'm impressed with his anatomy overall. How about that?
Okay. I will accept that answer.
Yeah, I've got no complaints. No complaints. So that's it on this end of the questions I received.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Okay. So I think we'll wind it up here. Mm-hmm. So just want to give a great big thank you to a lot of groups and folks collectively and individually. The Washington Capitals fans page, the Die Hard Caps fans, of course, the True Caps fans fan page, the Sports on the Hill podcast. Sorry to be rushing, but we're kind of getting low on time here. So,
Nova Caps.
Yeah, Nova Caps, of course, wasn't going to forget them. But, yeah, they've been a huge boon and a boost to us recently. So, yes, definitely don't want to forget them either. We'll be working with them a lot in the coming days, and some individuals as well. Want to mention Robbie Gross, Carol Porter III, of course, of the Sports on the Hill podcast. Some unsung heroes such as Tony Olcott in True Caps fans, Bernie and Ron Deal from True Caps fans, of course, Chris Levesque, who's done some shows with us. Mm-hmm. Sonia Kendall, the admin of the Washington Capitals fans page over at Facebook. Lots of names, many too numerous to mention. As I always say, if I've forgotten you, I do greatly, greatly apologize. And as far as directly affecting the show, of course, pardon me, this year, of course, Joe McAllister, who was wonderful enough, if you like that, again, as I always say, if you like that guitar intro, you have him to thank for. You're interested in having him play a gig for you, contact me. I will get in touch with him for you. Let's see. And, of course, the wonderful young Mr. Jeffrey Conkle, who does the voiceover at the end. Be hearing from him. And I just want to take a little bit of time here to thank my wife Jenny. You know her as Mrs. Blue Liner. She, as always, is my muse and my inspiration for this show. So I just want to take yet another opportunity to thank her for all that she has to deal with as far as this kind of a thing goes. I hate to sound rushed, but I want to get everybody as much as I can out there, let them know how I feel. So that's
touchy feely.
Anna, you have anybody you'd like to thank?
You nailed everybody, and I think there's a couple like the Erics, the Troys,
Troy
Dons,
Ryder,
like,
absolutely,
the awesome people that have sent us messages, you know, or retweeted something and whatever, and I totally appreciate it. And yeah, I feel the same way. My household has had tons of patience with "Don't come downstairs, I'm recording. I love you, but I'm recording." And they've been great. My dog could obviously use some obedient classes, but it's all good. And Gil.
Yes, yes.
I got to thank you.
Oh, well, I got to thank you.
No. Thank you.
So how about that?
Like, you know, it was good. It was a totally random friendship that formed on social media, which I never thought I would ever say that, but I'm now learning it's actually quite awesome to have friends on social media and meet people that way. And this has been awesome. And who would have thought that giving me this opportunity to come on to what was your show and is your show, and should they win the Stanley Cup? Come on now.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
What a hell of a kick-ass first year.
Yeah. Yeah. So before we wrap it up, we got to talk about Saturday. So Saturday in Annapolis.
Absolutely. Oh yes.
Is it Galway?
Saturday, July 28th. Yes, we are going to have the Maryland side listener meet and greet at Galway's Irish Pub in Annapolis.
Yeah.
And we plan on meeting there. If you can, do please make it out there and meet us. We'll be there starting at around 1 p.m. For lunch. And we'll be at the bar.
Of course. Of course. Like, where else would we be? But also, I think it's not supposed to rain. So why not come to...
Oh, don't get me started on this weather. Who boy.
I don't know what you... I haven't been able to be in the pool all week, so it's made me quite pissy.
As weather has made the whole damn DMV soggier than a thrice-used diaper. Good Lord.
Oh. Okay. Well, on that gross visual... So Saturday. So I'll be there. I don't know if I'm coming solo or whatnot, but it'll be fun. And I don't, you know,
very much
comes,
so.
Yeah, and then we'll do another one in Northern Virginia. It's
definitely
probably the end of August. So
definitely.
Yes. So go for the final sign off and give your cheesy last little thing just so I can roll my eyes.
Wow. What? Yet
How
again.
That?
Yet
that
again. Such a setup. Such a send off.
Love me. You just love it.
All right. So yes, we're going to close it up for the summer and seal it with a kiss here, as it were. So yes, just want to give one final thank you, and of course add the note that we've reached the 500 follower mark and at Podbean. So want to give a very sincere thank you to all of those who have dedicated their time to make the show what it is. So thank you so much in all seriousness. So with that, on behalf of Anna Knox and all you loyal listeners out there, for everybody that makes the show what it is, thank you so much once again. This is the Blue Liner signing off and reminding you that when you get into an argument with your significant other, you can always diffuse the situation by calling them something that starts with a B. Honey.
Stop.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister. Voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.